family here at Highway. God bless you. We're so thankful for what God is doing in and through the next generation. Our church, we as a church, have purposed to prioritize the next generation. The other night, on Friday night, we had a whole bunch of kids. There was only about, there was about 13, 14 kids. It seemed like more like 100. But we had an awesome, awesome time with the engaged youth at their dinner. And I want to thank the Wagners for helping to put that on, and Pastor Sue and her team for blessing our youth and the next generation. Can we just give them a great hand? Amen. Amen. Now, when you came in, you also probably saw these strange boxes with the strange symbols on them, and those symbols, it's actually Korean. This afternoon, as many of you know, we are our building is hosting the Compassion Church. It's a church that is targeting the Korean population here on the south end of the island, and they have been worshiping downstairs following our morning service. Today is their official inauguration as a church. And Sue and I have the honor of being there to pray a blessing and to share a word over them. But they wanted to bless our church and to thank us for hosting them. So on the back in these boxes is a little wall. A little wall clock that you could put in your kitchen, in your office, wherever you want. And the Compassion Church name and logo is on there so you can remember to pray for them. And so I think that's really neat. Let's just, we're going to open up the Bible. We're going to read together in Mark chapter 5 in just a moment. But as we do, I just want to also thank the men and those who are part of our men's ministry who put on just a great breakfast yesterday. We had the opportunity to go to Mary's Blue Moon, and it was a great time, wasn't it, Pete? We had 21 guys and sons come out, and we are just so thankful what God is doing. Ladies, I know God is doing amazing things on Monday morning and Tuesday night, but would you just let me brag on the guys just for a second? Because the men in our church are awesome, and God is doing an amazing thing in and through them, and we're so thankful for them. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Today we're concluding our series, What's Next? And we've been looking at the journey that all of us are on. Each of us are at different stages in this journey. Some of us have entered into the stage where we are blessing and making a difference in our families and in our community. Others of us are just in the midst of discovering where we fit in the body of Christ, discovering the gifts that God has given us. But each and every one of us, before we discover our purpose and make a difference, it all begins as we come into a relationship of knowing God through Jesus. You see, knowing God is everything. It is where our spiritual journey begins. And apart from this intimate relationship through Jesus Christ, we can never know him nor find freedom, let alone discover our purpose or make a difference. In other words, it's when we know God in intimate relationship that we find freedom in Jesus Christ. In other words, it's when we know God that we will know freedom. And this morning I want to share a message I've simply entitled, Set Free. Set Free. We're going to read the Word of God this morning in Mark chapter 5. And then right after that, I want to introduce you to a young man by the name of Josiah. And Josiah is going to be here, and he's going to share with you what happened when Jesus entered his life. Let's read Mark chapter 5 together. Could we do something? Could we stand as we read God's word? Let's honor God's word today. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." And he gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray that today as we get into your word, Lord, that you would open our ears to hear your word, that you would open our eyes to see the way that you would have us go, and Lord, you would anoint our feet that we would be ready to respond to your call today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. And before I forget, we do have coffee at the back after the service. So don't go away, but stay and let's fellowship together and let's bless one another on this beautiful, beautiful sunny day. Isn't it a great day? It's a gorgeous day. The most beautiful day for Canada to lose the World Cup. They played their heart out, I understand, but I guess it just was not to be. Let me just fill in the backstory, and then I'm going to introduce you to our guest here today. The disciples had been sailing with Jesus across the Sea of Galilee when a mega storm had come up. They were in fear for their very lives, believing that this was the end. Then Jesus took control of the situation, commanding the waves and the wind to cease, and there was a peace as calm as crystal. And after Jesus stilled the storm, in chapter 4, verse 36, we read in chapter 5, verse 1, that they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. This was on the east side. It was known as the backwards part of Judea. No one really wanted to go through there intentionally because it had really been populated by Gentiles or businesses who decided to raise pigs in order to sell to the Gentiles. So it was not a place that people would willingly want to go through. Nevertheless, this is where they landed. And it was not by accident, for Jesus had a mission. Before this, he had told his disciples that they must needs go to the other side. And there would be no storm strong enough to deter Jesus from his mission. Because while the disciples were filled with curiosity and even fear, wondering who this was that could command the elements to be still, they had no idea about what they were about to face. And what they were about to come to face with was how Satan himself can destroy a life. How when a person gives themselves, opens up an area of their lives for a foothold, how the enemy comes in to bring absolute destruction. He's going to bring his disciples face to face with a situation that could not be solved by society. However, when Jesus comes on the scene, when Jesus enters a life, when Jesus enters a situation, he brings hope and he brings healing. Because you see, this is why Jesus came. In 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And Satan had tried to destroy a young man, probably at least two, as we read Matthew's gospel. But Jesus came. When everyone else gave up on them, when everyone else gave them up as dead and that not even God could help them, Jesus came. And by the power of his word, he cast out an army of demons to set this person free. So what happened? This is where I want to introduce you to Josiah. Good morning and shalom. My name is Josiah, and I am so proud to be here with you today and share with you my story of how Jesus, Yeshua, my Lord and Savior, he came and saved me and delivered me from a situation that there was no hope. I don't know when it happened. I can't even tell you how long I was in this situation. You see, I was born and raised in Gadara on the east side of the Lake of Galilee. It was known as an agricultural area, a rough area. It's where ruffians would be. It's where the Gentiles had set up businesses. It was many people called it the backwoods. No one really wanted to associate with us, but it's where I grew up. And I had a loving family, a mom and dad who loved God and taught me their best to serve God, to do what was right. They brought me to synagogue every Sabbath, and there I heard the rabbis teach as the scrolls were unrolled. I had a very lovely childhood. I don't know exactly when it happened, but maybe it was maybe in my teens. I remember some friends who were wanting me to join them in I thought it was just a game. And in that game, they gave me some wonderful white powder. And that powder made me feel good. It made me feel strong. It made me feel invincible. And that little bit turned into more and more and more until I needed something else to fill the void in my life and to give me what I felt I needed. Before I knew it, like a madman, I was out of control. I was given to fits of anger. my parents who loved me, I would yell at them, I would swear at them, I would even hit them. I couldn't control myself. They brought in the rabbis, they brought in the doctors, but no one could help. I could not understand it. I was out of control. And finally, the day came when my village said to my parents, look, your son is lost. He's hopeless. You need to get rid of him. You need to cast him out because he's causing too much trouble. And so I could see the grief on my mom and dad's faces as they told me that I had to leave. And I shook their arms off me and I said, no, I'm not going anywhere. You can't tell me what to do. They tried to put me in chains. But a power, an unearthly, dark power seemed to possess me and give me a supernatural strength that allowed me to break those shackles like they were just pieces of wool. Finally, they sent me away. And I found myself with two other men who were lost, almost as lost as I was. And even though we were there, I was feeling so alone. We were living in the graveyards, among the tombs, and this in itself was a sign that we had been forsaken and rejected by society because the law said we couldn't touch a dead body, let alone live among dead bodies. This is where I found myself, desperate, destitute, alone, believing that God couldn't even help me. And if he was, he would be the only one who could help me. But why would God help me, who was so lost, so bound, so desperate, so alone? And I'll never forget that one night. There was something just churning in my spirit. I couldn't understand what it was, but I had to run to the top of the hill. And there I saw in the early morning mist coming a boat to the other side. And I don't know why, but something told me I wanted nothing to do with this boat. And I wanted nothing to do with the people that were on this boat. Nevertheless, they arrived on the other side of the sea, on the beach, in my neighborhood, right where I was. And as I squinted and through the mist, I saw one who I recognized. Yes, could it be? Could it be him? And I saw this tall man come step out of the boat. And something just urged me. And like a madman, I came rushing out of the tombs and the graves. No one could restrain me. I couldn't be chained. No one could tie me down. No matter how many times people tried to tie me up, it was no use. When Jesus came, even a long way off, something urged me to go. I didn't want to, but I felt I had to. I was so desperate to the point where I was cutting myself, wanting to end my life, thinking this was it. But something was pushing me and pulling me towards this man. And as I came, some unearthly power caused me to bow down. And I heard this voice coming out of my mouth. Jesus, what business do you have here, Son of the Most High God? Why are you messing with me? I swear to God, don't give me a hard time. When Jesus looked at me, he looked firmly but with compassion right through my eyes into my heart, and with these words, as a general commanding his troops, come out of that man. I was frozen in time. Who is this person? Who is this Jesus that would give command? Jesus looked at me, said, tell me your name. And again, out of my mouth comes the words, my name is Legion, because we're many. Legion, a legion is like 10,000 Roman troops. There are 10,000 evil entities in my life. I'm surely lost. Again, Jesus commands these demons to come out, and I'm still frozen. I can't move. Over in the distance, there was a large herd of pigs grazing and rooting in the nearby hills. And the demons inside of me began to beg Jesus, send us into the pigs so we can live in them. Why the pigs? I don't know. But Jesus gave the order. But it was even worse for the pigs than for me. Because like crazed rabid animals, they stampeded off the cliff, and like pigs in space, they flew off and they drowned in the water below. Those tending the pigs were scared to death. They didn't know what to do. Their livelihood had just gone over the brink. They bolted to tell the story all through town. I didn't know what to do. I sat there before Jesus, not knowing what to say. All I knew is that the evil inside of me, the voices inside of me, the anger that had enveloped me, the feelings of self-destruction that were causing me to hurt myself, all those feelings, those voices, they were gone. And instead of the turmoil, instead of the torment, there was a peace in my heart that I had never known before. And all I know, my friends, is that Jesus set me free. When the people came, they wanted to see what they heard, if it was actually true. And they saw me. They saw me, the one that they had cast out, the one they thought had lost his mind, the one they couldn't control. They saw me sitting with Jesus, having a Big Mac, and wondering, what happened? What happened? And they told others what had happened to me and how the demons that had possessed me, Jesus commanded to leave. Now, you would think that everyone would be so happy and so excited. I would think that everyone would want to be a disciple of Jesus. While they were curious, and at first they were in awe, they were upset. They had lost their livelihood. They had lost everything that they were comfortable with, and they demanded that Jesus leave. Wow. I couldn't believe my ears that these people who knew me my whole life, they were more comfortable with the idea of me chained and running naked and hurting myself in the graveyard than they were with Jesus coming to set people free. But isn't that like so many people? They're comfortable with their lives. They're comfortable with their money. They're comfortable with their situation. But when Jesus comes, as I discovered, when Jesus comes, he upends everything. He turns everything on his head. And Jesus doesn't force himself on anyone. They wanted him to leave, so he turns with his disciples. And as they're getting into the boat, I said, wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute, Jesus. Let me come with you. I've got nothing left here. Let me come with you. I want to be your disciple. Jesus looked at me and he said something so curious. He said, "No, no, no. But Jesus, no buts, no. But Jesus, no. But Jesus." Jesus said, "I want you to go home. I want you to go to your family. I want you to tell them how much I have done for you." I couldn't believe it. What did I have to say? I hadn't gone to Summit Pacific Bible College. I hadn't done a 10-step program yet. I hadn't done anything. I don't even know which end of the Torah is up. Lord, you want me to, what do you want me to do? Just tell them what I've done for you. And that's what I did. And that's why I'm here today, to tell you that if Jesus can heal, restore, and deliver me, there is no person alive, no person in this room that is so hard up and so bound that Jesus cannot save. We see a man chained, a man changed, and then a man commissioned. As I think of this story, there are four things that I see that I want to leave with you today. Number one, sin will wreck your life. We do not know when, how, or how long this man and his friends were in their condition. We don't know how the door was opened to allow the enemy to come in. But we do know from Scripture that when we do open the door, sin will wreck your life. We need to be careful that we do not open the door for the devil's influence in our lives. We cannot afford to play around with sin. Don't deceive yourselves. Don't believe the lie that the enemy would say, this is okay. Nobody knows. This internet site, it's not hurting anyone. You know when Satan does his worst? You know how he deceives us the best? It's not when he comes with horns and a tail and a pitchfork. It's not when he comes on TV with head spinning around and eyes bugging out. He doesn't come in those ways, but he brings his deception by coming as an angel of light. Oh, this is good. It looks good. It tastes good. It feels good. It must be good. Listen to me, especially all the young people that are here. Listen to your pastor. Just because something looks good does not, and feels good does not mean that it is good. You see, the enemy is out to fleece you and I, and he seeks to destroy us. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy." This man had lost his family, his decency, his self-control, his friends. He lost everything. Don't let that happen to you. Satan wants you to believe that your life is a wreck. He wants some of you to believe that because of your past, because of what you have done, because of the scars that you carry, that you can't ever possibly use by God. Well, I've got good news for you, that when a man or a woman, young or old, rich or poor, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, when you come to Jesus and you give him your baggage, guess what? Any wrecked life, he will restore. And some who are hearing this message, You may have made such a mess of your lives that you're wondering if there's any hope, if there's any way God can restore you. Then I want you to think about the man from our story today. If Jesus can restore him, he can restore you. Hallelujah. And any restored life can be used by God. Jesus does not restore us to leave us helpless and alone. He revives us from the living death of sin, and he gives us new life. He restores our dignity, and he prepares us to fulfill his divine purpose. And after receiving this new life, after being set free from this myriad army of evil, this restored man receives a great commission to go and tell his story to everyone. You see, because anyone used by God can make a difference. According to Mark, everyone was amazed. All those who lived in the area, the man's friends, his family, who had all rejected him and rejected Jesus. It's interesting that the same ones that rejected Jesus, when they heard the testimony of this man, it was like, whoa, a light bulb went off. Here's the thing. No one will be as impressed with all the miracles that they can see until they see the miracle of what God has done in you. And God wants to use you and me to make a difference by simply telling your story. One of the lies that the devil feeds people is this: God can't use me because my life has been such a wreck. Who will believe me? Look at the scars I carry. The truth is, here's the amazing thing, folk. Those scars that you try to hide, the past you try to keep in a closet you don't want anyone to know about, the truth is that those very scars that bring you shame, God wants to redeem and use to show others that they too can receive deliverance, salvation, healing, and they can make a difference. Chuck Swindoll writes in his commentary on this passage, "Your scars bear witness to the reviving, restoring power of Jesus. He turns those shameful marks into emblems of honor. Each one can become an opportunity to glorify God and influence others to find the healing and deliverance you have received. Believe it or not, you can have an amazing impact on the world for Jesus." Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome today? My friends, today, right now, while you're breathing, today is the day for your deliverance. No one could help this man, and he couldn't help himself. Jesus gave him freedom, and he can break the chains that bind you. Nothing, nothing, nothing is too hard for our God. As Jeremiah 32 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" Are you ready to admit your mess and to give it to Jesus? Will you cry out to him today? And in the midst of what's going on, just ask him, God, just ask him to deliver you. And when he does, get ready. He's going to send you to tell others, this is what Jesus can do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Roland and worship team, would you come back to the platform? I have no idea what song you've got, but we're going to leave this place in a time of prayer and victory. If you would like prayer this morning, if you would like to come, maybe you'd like to come and commit your life to the Lord, I'm inviting you to come this morning. We're going to pray with you. We're going to believe God together. Maybe you've got a situation in your family that only God can meet. We want to pray with you. We believe God can meet that need today. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever need you have, would you come today and let's believe God. If God can do it for them, he will do it for me. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.